Join me. I'm going to pray, and we're going to take about 15 minutes to look at something about prayer in Proverbs, and then we'll pray together. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a day to just be reminded that we are in great need of your word, great need of Christ the Lord, and pray that we will use this time wisely today, whether it's the present time or when Jim speaks later. Please help us to listen with ears to know you and to love you and to speak to those around us, to encourage one another, that your name might be honored and given glory. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be looking at a few verses in Proverbs. And the first one is in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Each of these verses we'll look at, if we get to all three of them, have the word prayer in them. Verse 8 of chapter 15 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." I'm going to ask some questions. I'm not expecting you to answer out loud. I'll answer them, but I'll ask you some questions, and you think about them, and I'll probably be the one who answers them, just for the matter of time. In this verse, what is being compared? Well, what's being compared is the sacrifice of the wicked and the prayer of the upright. What is the nature of each? A sacrifice is something that is physical generally, at least in the Old Testament. There are sacrifices of praise that are mentioned in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. But generally, when we think of a sacrifice, it's something physical. A prayer is something that's not physical. It's something that you do. Now, you could speak out loud, but it's not something that you do, not something you don't go to some place, you don't go to take part in some special activity to do this. Well, what makes one an abomination, one a delight? It says that it's a sacrifice of the wicked. It's offered by a wicked person, and the prayer is made by an upright person. So there's a very distinct difference here. So now this may sound like a question that has an obvious answer, but why would one be an abomination, and why would be one that is his delight? Well, if you think about it, and we should think about it, the sacrifice of the wicked is not done for a reason that is godly. It's not done for a reason that is to seeking to please God. But the one that is a prayer of the upright is something that is an activity where a person is seeking to please the Lord. It doesn't have to be making a request. It doesn't have to be giving praise. It can be doing several things, but it's the prayer of the upright. That's the qualifying part of it. It's of the upright, and the sacrifice is of the wicked. But it also says that it's his delight. That is, the prayer of the upright is his delight. When we pray, it is a delight to God. It's not a delight because we're a delightful people or that we deserve the delight of God, but it's because it is the prayer of the upright. There's a sense in which whatever the reason might be, whatever we're doing it for based upon his word, it is upright in what we're doing. And that's the key. If we're seeking to pray according to what God says in his word, then it is the prayer of an upright person. And that's God's delight. And if you think about the difference between the wicked and the upright, I know we've probably all memorized Psalm 1, where it talks about blessed is a man who does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A righteous person delights in the word of God. The ungodly person never says anything in that psalm about the ungodly person, the wicked person, what they do. But it's obvious that they don't delight in the word of God. They don't delight in the things of God. And the word wicked is used, when you think back to Genesis, it says the men of Sodom were wicked. And we know what they did. They were homosexuals. They were sodomites. They were different things that they were doing. We know that Lot's heart was vexed because he was in that city. He knew what type of people they were. They were wicked people. In Psalm 119, verse 155, it says, "Salvation is far from the wicked." A wicked person doesn't know what salvation even is about. They might know some intellectual information, but they don't know really anything what it means to be saved. In Proverbs 21, verse 10, it says of the wicked desires evil. That's what's on the heart of a wicked person. They desire evil. In Acts chapter 24, it says that it tells us that there will be a resurrection of the righteous or the upright and of the wicked. And if we read in Revelation chapter 20, we know what's going to happen to the wicked. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. They have no desire from beginning to end to please God. So whatever their sacrifices are, whatever they do that might seem important, they are an abomination to the Lord. Well, another verse is in the same chapter. It's verse 29. It says there, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Now, I realize that far and here are not synonyms, but what seems to be implied with the use of is far and hears. Well, God doesn't answer. He doesn't hear the wicked, but God is near to the righteous. God isn't affected by distance. We all know that. But there is a sense in when these words are used, it tells us what type of relationship that God has with a wicked person as opposed to a righteous person. He can hear us wherever we are, and he will choose not to hear someone who is not seeking him and not delighting in him. Far also indicates something else. It is that there is no relationship between the Lord and the wicked. The word for the righteous, although it is similar to upright, has to do with the idea of one who has been justified, who has been considered as not guilty for their sins, who is blameless. It's looking at a person more from their heart than from their actions. So I don't know about you, but we need daily cleansing. We need just a daily work of God, a moment-by-moment work of God, that we might be pleasing to him so that when we pray, we know that God will hear us. And that's not to depend upon our works per se. I don't mean to be saying that, but just realizing what happens to us in our daily life. We know that when we're doing something wrong, we shouldn't even expect God to hear us, because we're not seeking him. We're not delighting in him. But when we are doing that, we desire that he hears us. We desire that he hears our praise. We desire that he hears our petitions, whatever it might be. And there's one other proverb I'd like us to look at. That's in chapter 28, verse 20, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." If you look at the verse, you'll notice that it's kind of short on the meat of the verse, but it's heavy on the description of the people involved. You notice it says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law." So the he is being described. What is he like? He's one who turns his way from listening to the law. Now that's a long description for the word he, to tell us who this person is. And I'd like us just to briefly look at that. It says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law." So this is a person. What does he do? He's not listening to God. He's not listening to someone speak from his word, but rather he turns away from it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. I think you all know, I've known people that you're talking to them and you think they're listening, and then they just give that appearance. They just turn away and they want to get away from what you're saying. And that's a sad thing, because, you know, if we do that, when we don't want to listen, I don't know about you, but I'm almost immediately pricked in my heart. I didn't want to listen to that, and that was wrong. And we need to be ones who listen. But it says here, he who turns his ear away from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And you know, there's no rest of that sentence as far as the he is concerned. It says, because the last part of the verse doesn't give the verb, it doesn't give the predicate to the he. It just says, even his prayer is an abomination. If we have the goal of seeking the Lord and desiring and growing in Him, then we have to listen. We have to be ones who desire to know what He has to say and what His will is for us. I can't imagine the impact of this, but you know, it says, if you turn your way away from hearing to or listening to the law, even your prayer is an abomination. Now, people don't see us praying, generally speaking. They see us doing things. But he says that even his prayer is an abomination. Something I might do, or maybe I do, whatever it is, I do privately, I do personally, I'm away from somebody else. God says even his prayer is an abomination. So our delight is to be not in turning away from the law of God, but to turn to the law of God, to be listening to it, to be reading it, to be studying it, to be meditating upon it, so that when we do pray, God listens. I'm not thinking mechanically, I'm just thinking of a relationship. In a relationship, if we listen to God, we know that He will listen to us. So, Jim, I quit a few minutes early. So, if there are any questions, I'll be glad to entertain those before we take time to pray.